WCHD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with Chandler David Watson, Tracy McBurney's Incredible Energy Consciousness, Mikhail Mir's Financial Consciousness, and nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with Quantum Physics and Consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Believe.
Hey, good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. This is the second Friday of the month, which means we have Tracy McBurney here today. Tracy, how do you explain Tracy? I never know. Energy practitioner, amazing. I love her. We all love her. Tracy can be found on the web at tracymcburney.com, TracyMcBurney.com. So no E on Tracy, but an E on McBurney. All right, so we're going to talk a little bit about December 21st.
Well, I thought it might be, I've been absolutely discombobulated since Christmas, and I thought...
Oh, yeah.
I just thought it would be a good topic to begin with. I don't know where this show is going to go. But, I just thought I wouldn't talk to you all the way through Christmas, and, you know, that my experience with everybody that I have spoken to and clients that I've spoken to is December the 21st was an absolute non-event. To them, it was a nice day. It was an energetically nice day. You know, there was lots of expectation of electronics being sabotaged everywhere and all sorts of craziness. When people ask me, for the last year or so, I think I was always saying, I think it might end up to be this Y2K moment that was the year 2000. I think that there's been a lot of dance around this, and I just wonder what the truth is really going to be. However, having said that, I was really listening a little bit to what they were talking about with a change or a flux in the magnetic field based on the planet's positioning to the center of the Milky Way. And so I guess my ears were perked up to that idea that maybe the computers are going down, the satellites are going to go down for a little bit. So I got to admit, I did, backlog everything in my computer that could possibly be back, that could possibly be saved, and made sure I dotted my I's and crossed my T's. But it was kind of a non-event, and I have one person that I can think of who was a colleague of mine more than a few years ago, not now, was a friend then, and he's really struggling now. He was convinced, absolutely convinced, that he was going to ascend off the planet on that day. He has three children and of varying ages, one of them late teenage age. And he's really struggling now. He's really struggling now with himself. In fact, there seems to be a question mark around him a little bit energetically as to whether he might actually be psychically and mentally able to deal with that. He has dedicated the last 10 years of his life to spiritually working for this moment that he would ascend off this earth. And, that is the only story I have to tell you that is, that kind of tragic, because he really is experiencing a degree of mental illness now as a result of this. Some people would say he had a degree of mental illness for this whole 10 years while he was thinking all of this stuff.
Right.
I'm not saying here or there. I'm just saying I wanted to talk to you about your December the 21st moment and all the moments after, because I've had a bit of a roller coaster ride since then.
I would definitely agree. I would say a lot of people that I've talked to, if they connected energetically, that they felt a very positive flow of energy. Most people weren't connected in with the doomsday stuff. I did go to a meditation that night with Nora Walks in Spirit, and I found it extremely powerful. But I have been so exhausted physically, mentally, emotionally. My shoulders seem to kind of regress a wee bit. little bit more pain lately. I just exhausted, you know, and I get that there's a lot of people that, you know, felt both positive and are also feeling kind of tired.
Well, I don't know if Dr. Hammer, German New Medicine, I don't know if he has a little bit of an answer around that. I don't know. Really, I don't know.
Right.
But maybe the exhaustion is, I don't know what's going on with the solar flares right now. I don't know what's going on with everything that would be operating from a universe point of view with regard to planet Earth and its position now. Right now, over the last 12 days or 15 days or 17 days since that time, and how that would affect our energy field. I'm surprised that we were affected. We, humanity, was, you know, so physically affected by solar flares.
Right.
That our mental state was so affected when these flares and this radiation actually hit the Earth, and that surprised them. They've been doing some studies about that since they really saw that. So I don't know if your tiredness and my tiredness, I'll tell you my story in a minute because it's not so much tiredness, but a lot of people's is.
Yeah.
A lot of people's is. And a lot of people's are. Sorry, my mother would be, a lot of people's are. My mother would be horrified, English major that she was. I can't believe I said that. I must be tired. Okay, so. Why I think German New Medicine might have an answer here is Hammer talks to us about our body's natural way of coming out of a crisis.
Okay.
You know, so in other words, if we're in this energetic, well, we're hearing, how many years have we been hearing Nostradamus, end of the world, 2012, December 21st, world's ending, blah, blah, blah. It's been plastered over so many things. And it seems to have spanned the gamut from all the new age kind of thinking people right up to even hearing things on CNN News and even going into the Discovery Channel and the bio and the stories of Notre Dame. And so to me, it's like our consciousness was affected by that.
Sure. Yes.
And so once we get the transmission, once December 21st has come and gone, and we are still here, and we are still alive, and none of this stuff that we've seen on all of these movies and downloaded into us and seen on television, none of this stuff that we've read in books, none of it
happened.
All happened on that day. You know, there are scientists, people like Greg Braden, who've been trying to educate us. His book, Fractal Time, really tried to educate us on this idea that these changes and these earth changes and things that we're being talked about in this time of no time, in this time of great change, that it wasn't all going to happen on one day, that it was a process. It was like a 30-year process. So you would see the seas rising for a period of time. You'd see the floods in certain areas. You'd see these things. You'd see the volcanoes. But it wouldn't be all of that happening the way the movie 2012 put it all in one day.
Right.
And everything's going to explode. So I think if we had any unconscious expectation, and if we were kind of holding on at some point, or we weren't holding on, we were in some level of denial. We were off somewhere. When we finally came back to Earth from wherever it was that we might have been after 2012, December 21st, what Hammer says is the next place that the body goes is exhausted. When it now knows that it's dodged the bullet, when it now knows that the crisis is over, when it now knows that a strategy has been found, like Hammer talks about, you know, the strategy that needs to be found. And when the strategy is found, then you go into resolution phase. So now we're in that healing phase. Like now we're in that secondary phase. And that's potentially where I think we might be. And so we're tired. We're really tired. And he describes sometimes that secondary phase. It's also a secondary phase of coming out of a disease,
right,
which is kind of a neat thing to know.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about it as you've got some sort of different way of seeing potentially. You're clear, maybe your head's clear, but you're tired.
Right.
You're really tired. Now, I got to tell you, my experience, not so much. My son's been really tired, really tired. And I mean, he's a teenager, he's 14, so where do you go with that? I mean, he's been sleeping for as many hours as he could get away with sleeping, especially on weekends as he possibly could for the last couple of years, and it seems to equate to teenager. But I could honestly say since Christmas, you know, sleep time for him when there's been so many other options available to him, like so many new video games that he could play that he got for Christmas, things to get him out of bed, friends that are out of school, and he's still opting for that good 13-hour chunk of sleep. And he's not sick.
Right.
You know, there's no mononucleosis. There's no sore throat. There's no swollen glands. There's no fever. There's no nothing. He's not sick. He feels well. His eyes are bright when he gets up. But he's just been really exhausted. My husband, exhausted. Me, opposite. Oh. Two things have been happening in my world. My sleep patterns have been really, really disturbed. And I have been in and out of what I have to call psychic attack, in and out of bouts of having to deal with that, bouts of just, yeah.
Hmm.
I don't know. I mean, let's talk, because the other thing that I am finding is that there have been a couple of issues that are definitely my issues. And over the last couple of weeks, I have been delivered, and there's been no accident to it. I have been delivered to very, very powerful aha moments with regard to these issues. And that takes a lot, because I consider myself to be a very conscious individual, a person who has practiced this, doesn't just speak about it to people, but practices it daily, this practical spirituality. So for me to see pieces of these stories that have been old stories for me, that are new pieces, new things coming together, new, oh my God, A and B, they're linked. An oh my God moment.
Hmm.
Oh my God. And it's almost like now I can clear this to a deeper truth. Like now there's a deeper truth coming with regard to this. There's something else that's being revealed. It has been astounding, but it's been difficult.
Right.
From Christmas, it's been an emotional My story has been an emotional up-down roller coaster that started at Christmas. Actually, it started Christmas Eve. Now, I don't know if that has anything to do with what's going on up there. But and so when I talk to people, the commonality for people when I've asked them about Christmas, when I've asked them about holidays, specifically that time just after the 21st, more than a few people told me that their Christmas this year was different. The word was different.
Right.
It was different. It wasn't bad. It wasn't good. It was just different. Right. I was at a different place eating Christmas dinner with different people. I was having lobster instead of turkey. I've never had lobster for Christmas dinner in my whole life. I've never had seafood. I've never sat and broken bread at Christmas with these specific people. This is the first year we experienced Christmas without, I'm just speaking about a client. This first year we experienced Christmas without my father. Mm-hmm. Or this is, you know, different. Yeah. Tracy, it was different. And it wasn't that people were telling me stories that it was different as in horrible.
Right.
It was just
different.
Different. Mm-hmm. It was different. And they had to navigate something that was different. And that seems to be, you know, a theme.
Consensus.
That seems to run through. And I don't know, Christmas for you, was it different? Mm-hmm.
It, yeah.
Or more of the same. Hung out with the same people, went to the same
hang
places.
Out with anybody. So
oh, okay. Is that different?
Not different than last year, but well, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to go to our first break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Tracy McBurney. Tracy can be found on the web at tracymcburney.com. If you have questions, you want to get some guidance, give us a call, 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries.
How the hell do we wind up like this? Why weren't we able to see the signs that we missed? And try to turn the tables. I wish you'd unclench your fists and unpack your suitcase. Lately there's been too much of this, but don't think it's too late.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. It is the second Friday of the month. Every second Friday of the month, we have Tracy McBurney here. And Tracy can be found on the web at TracyMcBurney.com, TracyMcBurney.com. And we're talking about now that we've survived 2012.
Now what the hell are we
December,
do?
Yeah, now what happens?
Now
and how are we?
Shoot, now we got to pay for that Ferrari that we put on our credit card.
Or now we have to pay the bills that are on our credit card that we were hoping were going to be gone.
But you know what? It's an interesting thought, right?
Right.
Because how deeply might that have affected your consciousness and you didn't even really know it?
Right. Well, and then what happened just this week with the asteroid as well that passed by us that everybody's been worrying about but really isn't worrying until like 2036 or whatever. But that's still another thing that impacted a lot of people. So there's a lot of stuff going on.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes I just think we know too much.
Mm. That's the beauty of the internet, right?
We know too much. we're getting our fingers into too many things. We're reaching out too far to know too much. And sometimes I think that we'd just be happier and more settled if we brought in our tendrils a little bit and stopped going out there so much to find out the nuances of everything that's going on and just, you know, live.
Well, it's kind of like the students that take psychology or medicine and they get paranoid because they think they have everything, right? Like you're too much information, so you're getting paranoid that everything's going to happen to you.
Yeah. And I see it in the nutrition school.
Right.
I see the students literally doing detoxes and all sorts of crazy things all the way through that first year of nutrition school, and convinced as they're reading all of these different textbooks that they have this and they have exactly. That and they had that last year and how did they get through that? And it's interesting. I can think of, along this same topic, I'm just thinking of a client that seems a little relevant to this idea of putting your tendrils out, and maybe that's too much information. Like, how much information is too much information before it blows out your psyche? And do we really need to know that if it's really not the truth? Do we really need to know that if it's possibility is that, you know, like, what do we need to know? Right. And so I'm thinking about her because, of course, the theme in my world for the last couple of weeks has been psychic attacks. So I'm thinking about this mm-hmm. particular client, and she actually is very sensitive. She's a very, very energetically sensitive woman, and she always has been. She was born that way. She grew up in quite a difficult surrounding, alcoholic mother, father that leaves by the age of two. Anyway, what I was able to realize for her, she's in a relationship with a boyfriend who is a little bit mentally unstable. Mm. He is really justifiably mentally unstable. I couldn't diagnose him with a thing because that's not who I am or what I do. But there is a mental instability there, like a bipolarness or a schizophrenia or something is going on. And it's bringing her to a place that although she loves him immensely, loves the light of him, the spirit of him most of the time, right? Until he turns on into that Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. But when he's in that really nice space, he's just lovely. But she doesn't feel safe.
Right.
She doesn't feel safe. It's like living with the mother who's the alcoholic that turns on you when she's had that one too many drinks. So you really don't know when that one too many drinks has happened because yesterday it was four, but today it's six.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just sitting on eggshells. So this is kind of her in this relationship. And she gets it. She's getting it. She's doing the therapy around it. She understands the energetic of what her heart has attracted to her. But why I bring it into this conversation is because she was very, people don't get to be in my office doing the blame game for too long.
Right.
And so to me, I was looking at the bigger picture when she was in my office a couple of weeks ago. And what I saw in the bigger picture as she was blaming him for waking her up at night with his anger, she could feel his anger. You know, she was calling me the next morning. She'd had next to no sleep. He woke me up with his anger again. Some entity or something came into my room, woke me up with his anger again. It's raging, and it was raging. It was attacking.
Mm.
And when I looked at the bigger picture of that, what I got was that that's not what was going on at all.
Oh.
These emotions were perhaps within him. But what she was doing was she was reaching out. I tried to show it to her as because she felt so unsafe.
Mm.
Her mechanism, her insecure mechanism that she developed, coping and adapting strategy from a very long time ago, it sends out tentacles, like out, mm. out, 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 out. And what they showed me in this picture is these tentacles were going out, reaching into his bedroom, not the other way around, reaching into his bedroom to check on him, to check on him, to check on where he is, what mood's he in, to check in whether he's going to be turning on me, what's going on with him. And it's not just what's going on with him. Is he going to attack me the way he attacked me several days ago? What's going on with him? I want to make sure he's okay. Remember, she's the child of an alcoholic, right? Want to make sure he's sleeping well, wanting to make sure he's breathing, want to make sure that he's okay. So there's this really, really interesting dynamic going on. She was able to accept that. She was able to really just, you know, hear that. It was transmitted from heart to heart. It really was truth. And it's amazing when truth comes from divine that everybody just kind of slows down. Everybody hears it and nobody questions it, right?
Right.
So then she had to do the work to take responsibility for the fact that it's actually her in his bedroom,
right,
not the other way around. And that she wasn't being actually psychically attacked by him, not at this time, not by entities, not by anything. She was reaching into his energy field for her own good reasons, for safety and security and her own neediness and her own unhealed stuff. because she needed to know what she needed to know.
Right.
And what I said to her was, you violated his boundaries. You violated his bedroom just the way you accused him of doing. And you delivered to yourself more information than you needed,
right.
More information than was good for you to have, and information that really you took in and misinterpreted as something directed to you because you don't have the power of discernment available to you to be able to figure out what you're doing. So you are energetically misbehaving. So as you've been pointing the finger at your boyfriend for the last 6 or 7 months around his energetic misbehavior, how many times has that energetic misbehavior that you've accused him of actually been you getting in his space instead? So the truth is, yes, he has anger inside of him that he's not taking out on you. Yes, he's got some ball of stuck emotion of hatred that he's not even showing you that day. It's there. It's contained. You're reaching so far into him and you have no level of discernment to be able to understand what you're doing that to you, this hate is coming at me.
And that's how the mirror works, right?
Yeah, totally. It was very, very interesting. So to me, very, very privy, I think, to the discussion we're having right now. How much information is too much information? How are you getting that information? Is that information true? You're perceiving it, you're picking it up, but how true is it? You know, our perception becomes our truth, our own individual truth, but is it the truth?
Is there ever real, I mean, there's so few times when there is truths. Like,
but it is the divine truth,
sure,
that she was reaching into his field to mind his business. Her truth was, you are psychically attacking me
right.
in my bedroom,
right.
waking me up at night.
Right.
That was her truth, and she was standing by that truth. And I just can't deal with this, and I feel so unsafe. So her truths and her beliefs were literally creating her reality,
mm-hmm.
which is, I am not safe. I am not safe in any love relationship. I am not safe with any man. I will be this. I will be that. I will be violated. I will be disrespected. I will be yada, yada, yada. And it's like, well, really? Now that we know this truth, this divine truth of your misbehavior, now, what is the truth about how much you have violated his energy field? And what is the truth about how much he has violated yours?
Right.
And you, client, need to take responsibility for the fact that this belief inside of you, this conclusion, this decision, staff into the ground decision, that this is not a safe world, that I don't live in a safe home, that I am not safe. You are refusing to change that decision. Like Albert Einstein says, one of the most important decisions that we need to make as a human is to decide within ourselves, do you live in a friendly universe or do you live in a threatening one? Because they are both here.
Right.
Well, she is absolutely manifesting the threatening one. She is actually living hell on earth. Her world is hell on earth. My world is not that. I don't choose to live. I choose to live in a heaven on earth, on an earth that is filled with grace and ease and struggle that is necessary and required, but not more than is necessary and required. And that's not her.
Right. And that's the amazing part of the mirror thing. But we're going to go to our next break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tracy McBurney. If you have any questions, you want some guidance, give us a call, 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Feng Shui for the Soul. CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries. NewSkyRadio.com.
Hello. Baby, hello. Haven't seen your face for a while. Have you quit doing time for me? Or are you still the same spoiled child? Hello, I said hello. Is this the only place you thought to go? Am I the only man you ever had? Or am I just the last surviving friend? Your heart and let your feelings flow. You're not lucky knowing me, keeping the speed real slow. In any case, I set my own pace by stealing the show. Say hello.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Tracy McBurney here today. We've been talking about, you know, what happens after 2012. Or December 21st, 2012. And now that we're in the new year, we've sort of been talking about, you know, psychic attacks and how much is too much information. And one of the things that I love about Tracy is that she is able to kind of take you out of the blame game and kind of see that perspective that we need to sort of understand about ourselves so that we stop blaming and we start taking responsibility for what we need to see in our lives so that we can grow and evolve. And, you know, that's what you're able to do really well. And I know you want to say something
else. I'm listening to that and going, wow, that makes me sound so good. But really, at the end of the day, it's really pure survival for me. I can't stand to be in the presence of too much victimhood before I just actually lose my patience. It's just like, okay, I got to move this somehow because I don't have patience for this. But I have a lot of patience, but only an amount of patience for the victimhood before it's just like, you know what, this has to shift or you have to go somewhere else. You have to go somewhere else. Anyway, we were talking at break about this, and I said to you, well, yeah, what I'd like to do is talk about this for a second after break and tell whoever is listening, if there is anybody there, that what I do is not special. It's a way of placing my mind when you come in and you're in the place that you're in. So you're in the victim place. You want to sit there on the other end of the table, whether it's with coffee or whatever it is, whether you're a client or whether you're a friend, and you want to stay in that pointing the finger. He did this. He did this. He did this. I'm so hurt. I'm stuck. I'm hopeless, helpless, powerless, whatever.
Or we may be blaming ourselves too.
Or blaming yourselves. You're right. And what my job as I see it, especially if I am sitting as therapist, is I have to hold a different place than you're holding.
Right.
I'll hold your hand, but I have to hold a different mental state of being and a different level of consciousness to be able to try and pull you to a different place. And how I get myself to that place is I'm literally in that place of recognition inside of myself that it's all divine. even though your story sounds horrible, it sounds horrible that you were just walking down the subway and somebody kicked you and then hit you and then threw you to the ground, and 3 days later somebody else attacked you in that way, and your story is really a story of victimhood and victimization, I still have to hold this place. It is my responsibility as I see it, whether it's self-preservation because I'm with my friend or whether it's, listen, I earn my money this way, I have to sit there in this place that's saying it's all divine. And desire to reach for that divine within myself, connect to that divine within myself and the divine beyond that, the source of light beyond me. And literally to say things like, deliver to me the bigger picture. If I can be the one to see a little bit bigger picture from a different perspective than they're seeing that, could you please deliver that? Could you please transmit that down in whatever way, whether it comes in through a knowing or through the ear or just pictures? I'm not a coming through pictures person. But I need to see the bigger picture here because I am accepting that this is not the truth, what's going on with her. It's not the truth because there's blame and judgment and all of this in the mix. So it's not the truth. So what is going on? And so I hold that space. And I stubbornly and adamantly stay in that place. And I wait to see what thoughts arrive. Like what thoughts arrive to her or to me. But normally they're so clouded in their stuff, it's not coming to them at all.
Right.
You know, it's my responsibility to bring that through if I'm charging that fee, which means it's my responsibility to be clear and clearer, much clearer than them in that moment. I might be a foggy mess tomorrow, but it's my responsibility to be that clear. And my clarity comes from reaching to that divine within myself and beyond, accepting that it is all divine, no matter how horrible or nasty it looks. There are absolute divine reasons why that person has put themselves, while that person's heart has put themselves in that experience. It's almost like you can leave God out of it. Like I say, okay, leave God out of this for a second. Hang on. You've got a heart that is 600 times the magnetic field of any other part of your body. Your heart has attracted this experience to you. You are creator of your life. And the fact that you are sitting here, you cannot be in a place right now today of accepting that you are creator of your life if you are sitting here pointing the finger and blaming somebody else for what just happened to you. You can't be in both of those places. Every single time you have fallen into that place of victim, you have fallen out in your consciousness of acceptance that you are creator. That's kind of a cool thing to say to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. So you're not the creator today. You were not the creator yesterday. You were not the creator the day before. You weren't the creator. Why were you not the creator that day? Because it didn't work well?
Right.
Because it didn't fly.
You didn't like it?
You didn't like it? It didn't taste good? So you're not the creator of that. Your mom is.
Yeah.
Your mom is the creator of all the stuff that doesn't taste good. You're just the creator of the stuff that looks puffy and sweet and good to eat. Ridiculous. We are creators of our life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And every time we're sitting in that place of victim. So my job in my office is to do exactly that. Restore to this person this idea inside of their heart, a remembering that they're forgetting in this victimhood moment, that they are creative, that their heart attracted this, not to hurt them, not to kill them, not to destroy them, because there is energy, there are energy balls that are caught in their body, stuck emotion and stuck psychic trauma that is caught in their body and stuck there. And this heart is attracting this experience to give them clues, to remind them that it is there and it needs to be addressed and it needs to be entered into by that divine. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to enter into that. And that's what I like to teach them to do, is to enter into that so that they don't need me so much anymore. They can do some of this stuff, like really just, I remember when my husband made a very bad decision. He'd probably be horrified that he's going to be sitting here on a radio, But he made a very bad decision, and in 2.5 seconds, $10,000 of an inheritance money that I handed him was gone.
Yeah.
Gone. And I was so angry. But my husband was oh so much angrier than I was at himself. And I actually, although I was incredibly angry in that moment, I felt really quite sorry for him. And I also thought, I cannot dump my anger, my rage, my loathing, and everything else that I might be feeling in this moment on you, because you won't survive it. The intensity of the negativity towards yourself is too extreme even as we speak. So I had to kind of stuff it in. I stuffed it in, and I made myself a little sick. I ended up with a throat thing that lasted for about 3 years as I stuffed all this in. Mm. And it was hard, but I can tell you, it was hard to navigate my way out of that darkness. But there were days upon days upon days where I would walk around, and 300 times a day I would be saying, it's divine, it's divine, it's divine. It's all divine. It's all divine. I am so flippin' angry right now. It's all divine. It's all divine. It's all divine. It's all divine. I'd be looking at my, it's all divine. I have no idea how it's all divine, but it's divine. It's divine. It's divine. And at one point, having said that enough and desired enough to grab onto that place, like up there in the regions of me, something cracked, like something cracked. And then there was a light that could come down and descend and start to show me the divineness of that. Now, it would have been probably a whole lot simpler if I'd gone somewhere else, like I'd have gone to another person. If at that time I had had somebody, if the therapist had had a therapist that worked in a way that would work for me, and at that point I hadn't found that person, I found that person now, then yes, then that person would have stood in that place. Mm-hmm. Clear channel. See, that's what I wasn't. I wasn't standing in that place's clear channel going, it's divine, it's divine, it's divine, descending the love and light so I can get the explanation for that. No, I was standing in that negative fog of yucky hatred and loathing. No, not hatred. Anger and loathing, mostly anger and rage. And you can't get that light through that cloud so well and at all. And yeah, so it was interesting.
Yes. Before we're going to go to our break, but before we do, this is what we're going to talk about when we come back. We have an instant feedback here. This is from Christina from Denver. I've been having extreme anxiety. I've been having crazy dreams, seeing things in my home, hearing things. I know that I'm very intuitive. What should I do in regards to channel this to calm myself down? I feel so jittery at times. Feels like things and people are trying to come at me possibly. Sorry.
Where'd Denver go?
Yeah, exactly. Here it is. I've been meditating. Is there anything else I can do to channel this or at least settle it? I've been spiritually touched prior to this and lost it. I was able to handle it fine. It's much more intense this time. Okay, so we're going to go to break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. When we come back, we will deal with Christina, or we will work with...
We'll
try to give some guidance as to what people can do when they're in a similar situation. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Discover your spirit. Listen to Spirit Guide Radio, where leading spiritual experts serve as guides to nourish your soul. Every weeknight from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern, Heidi Hollis, The Outlander, The Zodiac Girls with Solaris, Laura and Kira, Ask Dr. Doug with Dr. Doug Lear, PSI 911 with Katie, Rhonda, and Christy, Life by Number with Celeste, and Your Reiki Journey with Heidi Harrison. Spiritually Speaking Radio for the soul. CBS Radio's The Sky. Believe.
Dust is on.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends, and today we have Tracy McBurney. She will be with us every second Friday of the month, so that means the next one will be the 8th. Wow, the 8th of February. Okay. So right before break, we were talking about Christina's instant feedback. So I know Tracy has some guidance just for...
Well, I have some specific guidance for her. So as I connect into that energetic... It appears to me that the trauma, so this is an unhealed psychic trauma. That's what was coming up. The unhealed psychic trauma that is manifesting in all of these things that are playing out here. The first thing that I realized when I hear things like anxiety and then I hear things like you feel like things are attacking or psychically attacking, the first question I want to ask is, do you have tears or holes in your etheric field? Do you have tears or holes in any of your fields? And the answer that came back was yes. Then I asked for the bigger picture as to how those got created. And that's how I got to psychic trauma. Psychic trauma created those holes. Where did that psychic trauma come from? That psychic trauma comes from past experience. It comes from past life experience. And when I asked about past life experience, I got past life of her own soul going back 5 lifetimes. And I also got that in the timeline of her father, it was past life going back 5 generations into her father's family lineage. So when I saw the number five in both places, so 5 lifetimes here and 5 lifetimes here back, I went, are they linked? Is there some coincidence to the fact that these are still the 5 number? And the answer was yes. And so as it looks, they were together. These two souls were together in whatever the experience was that was the psychic trauma of that time. And the soul of Christina was feeling responsible for whatever this was, felt like the instigator of this. And so has come back in this lifetime to carry that within herself so that she can now participate in the healing of this, just as she participated in the creating of it. So that's what I got. So I also got that her father and everybody in this family lineage on a kind of a weird mental level has given her a proxy, has basically signed off his souls and said by contract, you can speak for us. And so because she has asked for help in this way, I have no issue with just asking Miss Divine to help in this particular circumstance for her because she's not in my office. So that's exactly what I would do, is just ask of this divine. And first I would say, are there any blocks, reversals, resistances, interferences, or obstacles of any kind by any name and beyond that would be interfering with the 100% releasing and reconciliation of this psychic trauma? And the answer is no. And so I would then ask this divine through its fields of grace and mercy, infinite love and gratitude on a continuous stream. I would ask this divine to now work with Christina, working with her father and her father's family lineage to deliver the 100% releasing of this psychic trauma that began 5 lifetimes ago, not just for her father, but for herself as souls, and to completely release this family that has been bound up in this trauma, carrying this forward by duty and responsibility all the way to the present. And I thank you, Divine, for your help. I thank you for cleansing this and clearing this from their fields. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you, thank you, thank you for cleansing Christina's heart of this guilt, this regret, this remorse, and this need to carry this burden. Thank you, thank you, thank you for lifting this burden from her and from all of those that carried that dutifully for her. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Okay, so that is actually my thought process. It felt good. It felt right. You feel energy too. Mm-hmm. So it's a nice clearing. Maybe if Christina wants to get back to Lori at some point in the future and just tell her how she's feeling, I'm not talking immediately. And then what I would say to people that are listening, because that was a very specific clearing, if you're having these kinds of things going on for you, that would be the first step. Reach to your divine. Reach to your divine within yourself. And even if you don't believe in it, reach to that divine within yourself, that God within yourself. Reach to that highest, highest self, not higher self, highest self of you, and the source of light that feeds that highest self. Reach to that place. Ask that place for help. Give permission to be helped. Give permission to be cared for, regardless of what has gone on in the past. Let yourself be cared for now. Release, give this divine permission to release you from all that binds you. All that binds you and might bind that divine from helping you. See, it's a fascinating concept, because if your free will is always reigning, and there are times when we have just created circumstances that actually bind that source of light from helping us, even though we have asked. So we need to do that. Call on your angels. Call on the angels of light. Call on the archangels, Archangel Michael and Gabriel and Raphael. Raphael for sure. Calling on Raphael, you can ask Raphael to cleanse all of your fields of everything right now that does not belong to you. You need Raphael's help to do that. Asking Archangel Michael to come and comfort you. He is the Archangel of Protection. These are the kinds of things that I do. It's all about permission. And it's all about asking. I'm just trying to think. So it's angels I'm asking for. It's mercy that I'm asking for. It's grace that I'm asking to be delivered. And then the only other thing I can say, because this, I was laughing when this showed up, because I said to Lori, I've been there. I've been there about three times over the last 2.5 weeks. And I think it's now completely cleared. But one of the things that came to me when I was pulling myself out of one of these darknesses, because it seemed to always happen at night, is I was guided to go and reach for a protection pendant that a colleague had given me. And I don't wear protection pendants so much. I don't like to be dependent on things like that. But every once in a while, I've gotten myself in so much of a mess energetically that I've had to resort to such things. And so I was reminded, not last night, but the night before at about 4 o'clock in the morning, that I had that. I had that in my dresser drawer. And so I went and got it and I put it on. And I will tell you, just having that pendant on me started the process of starting to cleanse and clear my psyche to the point where I really felt like I had that little bit of connection to that divine. I could really feel it again. And then I was off to the races. Like once I could really feel it again, it was like, okay, all right, here we go. That pendant is not an expensive pendant. It's a $20 pendant. The gentleman that makes them is a gentleman by the name of Jason Quick. And you're going to have to email me, like go to TracyMcBurney.com or to Lori. I'll get her the contact information because I cannot remember his website, crazy as that is. Okay, that's it.
Great.
That's where we went.
All right, awesome. It's funny because I was also directed to get some of my stones and I put them at the head of my headboard so that it was right by my head when I slept. Anyway, we have been talking with Tracy McBurney. You can find her on the web at TracyMcBurney.com. You've been listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.